So now they've got to start from deep in their end of the field, and Garrison Hurst takes advantage of it. He takes the handoff, sweeps to his right, gets to the 20. He's at the 30, needs to cut in. He comes back up the right sideline, breaks the third tackle, comes down to the 30. He's down to the 20, he's down to the 10, he's down to the 5, he's into the end zone. Touchdown, touchdown, 49ers! 96-yard run from scrimmage, Garrison Hurst.
Young, back to throw. In trouble, he's going to be sacked. No, gets away.
Faithfuls, this is the Nothing But Niners crew. We are back here today to bring you guys our behind the scenes, behind enemy lines. Today, my special guest is Sandy. She is the Cardinals fangirl, part of the Fangirl Sports Network that Tracy started up. Sandy, how are you? What's going on?
Hi, I'm good. I'm so good. I'm happy to be here with you guys and talking about our Cardinals, my Cardinals. Yes, so excited to be here.
All right. So listen, before we get into all that, I want to let people know where to find us. Again, if you guys are tuning into this for the very first time, this is our Behind Enemy Lines, where we bring on an opposing team's, a fan of the opposing team. We're going to try to give you guys a fair and unbiased breakdown of each team and what to expect of the game going forward. Again, my name is Mike. I'm with Nothing But Niners. If you guys are following this page already on YouTube, thank you for joining us. All right, you can also follow us on Twitter. That is Nothing But Nine ERS on Twitter. We have a website, nothingbutniners.com. It's spelled all the way out. We have Snapchat, which is Nothing But Nine ERS. We have Facebook, Nothing But Niners. We are on iTunes, TuneIn, Google Play, iHeartRate, all the places that you can listen to podcasts, because we do have exclusive podcasts as well. And I do know that Sandy's handle on Twitter is CardinalsFGSN. Did I get that right?
Yep, CardinalsFGSN. I know I have to do it like that. I have to do it really slow. Fangirl Sports Network, CardinalsFGSN.
There it is. Perfect. So before we get into the nitty gritty of this upcoming matchup this week, week four matchup against the St. Louis Cardinals. Look at me. The Arizona Cardinals. I'm sorry.
Sandy, I do.
Tell people a little bit about yourself, who you are, why all of a sudden, tell them about your love for the Cardinals and where it all comes from.
So I am, of course, the Cardinals fangirl. I grew up in Arizona. I went to ASU. I also cover Sun Devil football. I just actually got back from doing a preview against Stanford. So both these NorCal teams. Born and raised here, I'm the only girl of five boys, so my whole life was sports. My dad, I would beg, I had to beg to be my dad's date always, to Suns, to Cardinals. And I was started going to the Cardinals games when they were at Sun Devil Stadium. That's how young I was, and I remember being there. And then when they switched over to the University of Phoenix Stadium, I remember, I mean, we have the Fiesta Bowl, we have everything. So it's been my life. Just surrounded around sports. And I'm the only one in my family who went into sports. All my brothers went into law. So it's just funny that the only girl went into sports, and I just live and breathe it. It's from the minute I wake up to go to bed, it is reading and learning, especially as women in this, we have to do more research than men. And it just comes with a job, and I love it. And that's why I'm a fan of the Cardinals.
That is awesome, man. I am really, really proud of the work that you guys are doing over there at Fangirl Sports Network. And, you know, I admire Tracy for her hard work and dedication and what she's doing to get people credentialed and things like that. It's not something that you just wake up and snap your fingers. It seems like it's a lot easier for men to do it and it's more expected. But I really, really like what you guys are doing, especially you. You are doing both Cardinals as well as ASU. I mean, kudos to you. Good job and keep up the good work. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, enough of the nice stuff. It's time to get down to the nitty gritty. What we're going to start out with is a recap, okay? So 3 weeks of the season have come and gone, and our teams are looking pretty bad. We're at the bottom of the division looking up. Your team is 1-2. My team is 0-3. Let's start with you. I want to get you to tell us a little recap of what's going on with the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, I know when Carson Palmer first got there, it looked like you guys were going to be an unstoppable force a few years ago. And it seems like things are slowly teetering down. Is this a facade? I mean, are we seeing the outlier? Is this not really Carson Palmer? Or was that one really good year with Carson Palmer and Bruce Arians the outlier? What's going on? What can we honestly expect? What have you seen so far this year?
So far, okay. So beforehand, I'm so sorry that Carson Palmer is the one that pushed out Hoyer. So there's that little connection between the 49ers and, you know, Arizona. So he was supposed to be the saving grace of the Cardinals, and, you know, he did have that great year. I don't think he's getting enough credit. If you saw against Cowboys, the first quarter, he was so great and it was so on it. Now again, the first quarter is scripted, very, very heavily scripted. And so they knew their plays inside and out, and it took the Cowboys a minute to adjust. But once they adjust to 8 guys in the field and 3 man rushing, Cardinals could not keep up. And so if you give Carson time to make plays, he's going to make those plays. He is a very good quarterback. The thing is he's a statue. His feet are not, they don't move well, and when they do move, that's when you know he's in his head and something's going on, and the O-line has just not done a good job of either protecting him or making holes for our backs. So we'll get to that, but he was up against a very mobile quarterback in Dak Prescott, and Dak can move and dance and Jimmy and Jeff, and he can do it all. So you are starting to see Carson's age. But I don't really know if it's an age thing, as it's a lack of protection and it's a lack of now weapons, David Johnson being out, and he can go to Fitz. Thank gosh, Fitz saved us on Monday so many times. Granted, didn't save the whole game, but we didn't even see that Fitzgerald is older and what, 37, 38 now? I can't remember. I know that they're about the same age because Carson's 37. So he does, we do have a talented team. They just need to click. Offense is not clicking. And so that's kind of what's going on. And the defense has been saving us, but the defense hasn't really saved us. It's just that our offense looks so bad because they allowed 2 fourth quarter touchdowns against the Cowboys. And that never should have happened. So, and then don't even, special teams, man, to bring on Phil Dawson to save us. And in 3 games, he's missed field goals. In 2015 and 2016, he had 3 total for the year. So now to have 3, and it's only 3 games in, you know, there's a lot going on. And I don't think it can all fall on Carson Palmer. I think it's a team thing, and the O-line, we'll get into how bad it is, but why it's so bad, we'll get into that.
Absolutely. So I'm not the type of person to correct people, but I love Larry Fitzgerald, and I cheer for him for one reason. He was born the same year as me. I am not 37 or 38. He was born in 83. So now his birthday has come. So he's only 34. But either way, that's up there in age for a wide receiver. So I completely understand what you're saying. And Larry does not look like he's 34. He's out there playing like he's 26, 27 years old.
Not at all. I mean, I guess it's according to Twitter, I guess I thought he was so much older. And I had done a report maybe about 6 months ago. And I just thought he was older because I guess the media makes him sound, but you're right, 34, that's not, I guess for football players, you know, baseball players and everyone, that's getting up there. But he doesn't play like that at all. He plays like he's younger than those guys, the amazing grabs that he had on Monday. And but then, you know, the classiness that he can then go and, like, lift them up and help them up, the Cowboys guys. So I love what he stands for on and off the field. But you're right, I'm 34, and he doesn't play like it at all.
I absolutely love Larry Fitzgerald. If he wasn't a Cardinal, I would like him even more. But it is what it is. And so that is an awesome recap. And a lot of the struggles that you guys are having on offense is something that we're having here. So a three-game recap for the 49ers really quick. The first 2 weeks, our offense was nowhere to be found. In fact, we didn't get in the end zone week one or week two. We lost to the Panthers. We only put up 9 points. We only kicked 3 field goals, obviously. And then when we played against Seattle, same thing. We had a 9-6 lead, but Seattle drove down the field on their final drive to get in the end zone and win the game. You know, but we showed a lot of fight on defense, and that seemed to be what we were going to be able to hang our hats on as 49er fans, that, you know, we went from one of the worst, no, not one of, we were the worst, absolutely the worst rushing defense last year. And we've actually done a complete 180. It seems like this rushing defense is really here. It's sincere. It's not, you know, some fake, you know, maybe it's just a blip. I think this rushing defense is for real. We've gone up against two teams that run the ball extremely well. Actually, three, if you want to count what the Rams did. And so we've been doing pretty good. The Rams had two 20-yard rushes in the fourth quarter that really skewed the stats. If it weren't for those, you know, really long runs that happened, the Niners are all of a sudden holding these guys to about 2.5 yards a carry. And so you can live with that. That's what you want to see. You want to see the improvements. But the weakness of this team by far is the secondary. The secondary, I mean, looks like Swiss cheese out there. It is not a good look. And it seems like the pass rush just couldn't get going on Sunday. And so that's, I mean, on Thursday, I'm sorry, against the Rams. It just seems like the pass rush couldn't get going. And that's something that is going to be watched very closely this upcoming week against you guys, because your offensive line is, I'm not going to say you guys are as bad as Seattle, but you guys don't have one of those top offensive lines either anymore. And that's all part of injury and things like that. And we're like you said, we're going to get to that. But what I want to find out more about this team is, my 49ers, is this pass rush for real? We hear about DeForest Buckner and all of his pressures according to PFF and all that, but he has no sacks, you know, so we want to keep an eye on those kind of things. And as far as the offense finally came awake. They not only were they out there and they put up 20, 30 points, they put up 39 points, okay? And you're talking about the woes of your kicker, former 49er, also Phil Dawson, another former 49er. We're going to talk about all those guys that are over there now also, but he missed an extra point, which caused us to have to go for two when we were down 39 to 41, and we missed the two-point conversion. We got the onside kick, but then there was a penalty. So the offense came alive, and for that to happen, considering that Brian Hoyer, former Cardinal, started off with an interception that should have been a pick six, it said a lot. This offense showed a lot of resiliency. They showed a lot of grit, a lot of toughness, and they showed the will to win. We just have to get it together. The defense showed up weeks one and weeks two. The offense showed up in week three with no defensive help. Hopefully we can put it all together. So that's enough of the preview. Let's talk about this team going forward and what to expect this week. I think we should start with the injuries, because this is going to be pivotal, especially for the Cardinals. You guys have some injuries up front in that offensive line. Again, the Cowboys seem to be able to control the line of scrimmage and rush just three guys. That's something that it's not going to bode well for most teams in the NFL. If they're getting pressure with just three guys and you have five linemen, that's something that you know is going to throw up red flags. So is that something that we can expect? Talk about the injuries along the offensive line and if anyone's coming back or what to expect going forward.
Oh, man. Okay. This O-line. So first off, I think everyone knows, but just if not. So John Wetzel is playing backup to G.J. Humphreys on the left side. So that's our backup, and now our backup is hurt. So I just want to go over. Alex Boone is now hurt, offensive line. G.J. Humphreys, Mike Iapati, your guy. John Wetzel. So the main guy. So our left side is hurt and down to our backups. And now our backups are hurt. Okay, so then you go to the right side, and you have, you have Jaron Veldier, and he's normally a left tackle, and now he's playing right. So he went his whole career playing left, and now he's playing right, and he's having trouble. oh my gosh, Carson got sacked 6 times because guys are in his face. So he can't hand off the ball because there's no one to go, Chris Johnson, no one. And then he can't throw because he's trying to scramble for his life because there's someone in his face because Valdir can't, he can't guard, he can't protect, he can't do anything. So the O-line is in shambles, and that's, the backups are now hurt on the left side. And so now what do you do? I had heard that they're, you know, DJ Humphries might come back for the game, but he is still on the IR report, as hurt. So Alex Boone, John Brown, Jermaine Gresham, DJ Humphries, I don't even want to keep going. And Chandler Jones, I didn't even notice he was on it until right now. And I know he's defense, but he's huge. We need him. I did write down what it could be. Okay, so starting from left, Holden, Munier, who we're going to pull up from the practice squad, Shipley again, Bohm, and Valdir. So the right side, a mess. Left side, now we're down to, what, our third string, maybe fourth string, if you really think about it. And then there's Shipley, which I don't really have anything negative to say about him. I just think the whole offensive line in general is in shambles. And what do you do? I know that we just went and signed 2 guys yesterday, but none of them are offensive line. They're all defensive players. So I really don't know what BA is going to do with this, because Carson's going to be forced to throw it. But how do you throw when you have a man in your face because you're right side? And I actually, at the beginning of the year, was really worried about DJ Humphries being out and John Wetzel going over there. And I was like, oh no, Carson's right-handed. That's his blind spot. I was more worried about the left side. And now to see that the left side actually has stepped up more than the right side. And Valdir did have a moment during preseason where he contemplated, when you stop playing.
Retirement.
Firing, yes. Blanking.
Wow. He was going to stop playing. Holy smokes.
Yeah, he had a day where he was like, I'm going to retire. I'm going to think about it. And then clearly he didn't retire. He's still playing. But it makes you wonder, is there a part of him that is just not committed to this anymore and is moving to the right side just too hard? Because at some point it has to click, right? And I get that it's easy for us to say, just go out there and block and you just have to hit low. But there's also, you have to be taught how to do that. You can't just step up. I know that it seems so easy for us to just, oh, media, oh, just block. But there is where you put your hands and how you put your feet. That matters. And if he's not used to that, and if he's used to having his left arm down over his right, like, it's just huge. And so the right side is a hot mess. They're not opening holes for our running backs to get through. Plus, they're not letting Carson make time to make plays, give him time to make plays. So I don't know. I think it's really good for you 49ers.
Yeah, so that's what's interesting. So it's amazing because you guys are there and you're entrenched in this and you guys see a lot more than what we do, okay? And so from a 49ers fans and my standpoint, this is how I saw the injuries on your team. Now, again, you have way more knowledge of what's going on, obviously. The report is exactly how you read it. But what I read was your left tackle, DJ Humphries, he actually returned to practice for the first time since week one. So I'm taking it as, they're getting some reinforcements back. Now they're going to have their – now, again, he was limited today. Mm-hmm. He did return to practice, but on a limited basis. So they're going to slowly try to work him in there. I'm not sure if he's actually going to play or not. But when I read that, I'm like, crap. Like, we can't take advantage of that weakness on the left side. It looks like he's going to be back. I don't know. Mike Iupati and Alex Boone. Now, here's what's interesting. Both of these guys were former 49ers. But I was doing some more research. It turns out both of these guys were playing left guard. I thought that one was on the right and one was on the left. So you guys had them both playing the same position. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting. Now, they're both on the injury report this week. Mike Iupati has the aggravated, it's a tricep injury or something like that. And he was inactive last week. And then you have Alex Boone with a chest issue. I think it was like a pec or something like that. And he didn't practice at all. I will tell you this. If Alex Boone is healthy, he can play all over that line. Alex Boone for the 49ers played a little bit of left tackle when Joe Staley went down. He played left guard. He played right guard. I mean, the only two positions I didn't see him play as a 49er were center and right tackle. Alex Boone is very, very talented, but he's getting up there in age. And there's a reason that we let him go. So it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds for you guys. But I'm going to keep my eyes on that offensive line. I didn't even realize that John Wetzel was your backup offensive lineman and now he's limited in practice as well. Like, so it's going to be interesting. Even if they do return, how good are they going to be and how effective are they going to be protecting Carson Palmer, especially on the blind side? When it comes to the 49ers, we didn't have a lot of injuries for the offensive line. The only player that made the list for this week was Joe Staley, but he hit the Wednesday, was the veteran rest day. It's not that he was injured or anything like that. He was a full participant today, well, on Thursday. So our offensive line seems to be okay. And our offensive line has been holding up a lot better than what people expected. Last year, the 49ers had one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL, and we were very worried as to how it was going to play out this year. But looking at things, you know, hindsight, we see that this offensive line is actually starting to gel. All of a sudden, Joe Staley, he had his highest rated game in probably the last 12 or 13 games of his career. Our right tackle, Trent Brown, he's looking really, really good. He's making headlines every single week for how good he's doing, and PFF Player of the Week 1 week, and also Trent Brown is doing good, and then we have to worry about our interior linemen going up against your pass rusher. So that's what's going to be the next thing that I want to get to. We don't have a lot of injuries to worry about on the offensive line. In fact, I think that we are 100% healthy there. But let's talk about the other positions on the offense, okay? Is your team going to be able to run the ball? And running the ball isn't just as simple as, oh, we don't have Johnson anymore. You know, and I know that that makes a big difference. I'm not trying to diminish what he does as a player, but if these linemen can't open up these holes for him, he's no good. It doesn't matter who's back there. You can have, I was going to say Adrian Peterson, but he's a shell of himself anymore. But you can have anybody back there. If these linemen can't block or open up holes for him, they're no good. So what do you think is going to happen with the run game? Or how did the run game look last week and then the week before without David Johnson in there?
So this, not Cowboys, but the week before, Indy, I was so impressed with Chris Johnson. I was like, ooh, oh, there's a burst I see that we didn't get to see in preseason. And I kind of chalked it up to preseason. He is older. You know, maybe he didn't want to put all of it because he didn't want to get injured or whatever. So, you know, we released him and Arizona brought him back once David Johnson went down. And so that week in Indy, wow, that burst. I was like, yes, that momentum, that's what we need. That diminished against the Cowboys. There was nothing. Chris Johnson was not effective at all. And so, I mean, he had 12 carries, 17 yards. That's just incredible. Ooh. So then Ellington they put in, and he was a lot more effective. 5 carries, 22 yards. But the thing that's good with Ellington is he kind of resembles a David Johnson a little bit, that he can receive and he can rush. So that's the beauty of Ellington, and now that he's back and he's healthy, because he was dealing with injuries last year. So hopefully they can make holes for him, but right now it's kind of running back by committee, which is really scary that those are the two guys, and that's it. I mean, 22 yards for Ellington and 17 for Johnson. If we are already going into a game one-dimensional, I don't know what to do. Like, I mean, I know I don't have to be calling the plays, thank gosh, but what do you do? Honestly, I do not know. I'm just hoping that Ellington can keep carrying it. I know I wanted to say Chris Johnson was going to carry it, but because he is a veteran, but I saw him just kind of give up last week. I didn't see any fire. I didn't see anything, and that's hard and that's tough. So hopefully Ellington can just carry it. I know that there's Kerwin Williams as well. He just hasn't been as effective either. And I don't know if he's not effective because, again, the line isn't making holes for him, or it's just not clicking. The offense as a whole is just not clicking.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's going to be tough to run against this, the front four of the 49ers. Like I said, that's the one thing that's good about our defense. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. We know what Larry Fitzgerald is going to do. We know what Carson Palmer is going to do. I won't pester you about those guys, but there are some other guys on your team as far as wide receivers go that I'm a little worried about. All right. And John Brown is back at the practice field in a limited capacity also, but I think that he's going to be someone everyone's going to be so worried about. Larry Fitzgerald going across the middle, playing the slot and things like that. But I think John Brown has a chance to really, really make a big splash this week. Our secondary is Swiss cheese. It's not good at all. And so I think John Brown, his quickness and his shiftiness is going to be something that you guys are going to depend a lot on. And it's going to cause a problem. So what do you think about your wide receivers there? Are they going to be able to do anything against this porous secondary that we have?
Well, first, if Carson can make a play and not die, yes. But I did find a stat, and I'm so sorry, but I think this is great. No wide receiver in the history of the NFL, in the whole history of the NFL, has been more of a thorn in the side than the San Francisco 49ers, than Cardinals Larry Fitzgerald. In 26 games against the Niners, Fitz has 2,067 receiving yards and 16 receiving touchdowns. So I know you don't want to talk about him, but that thorn I'm hoping can be really, really big and strong on Sunday. But so I had to get that
out. I tried to avoid it, Faithfuls. I mean, listen, she is bombarding us with these facts, and I tried to avoid it, man. I didn't want her to drop it in there, but she got it in there anyway. Kudos to you. Good job. Good catch.
Yeah, I don't think I knew that. I was so surprised. I'm like, of all NFL, you know, Larry and 49ers. So with that being said, the Ellington, he's not a receiver. But he did have Larry last week had 13 receiving, 13 catches, 149 yards, and Ellington, 5 catches for 59. That's it. Those are the two highest for last week against the Cowboys. I do really like John Brown. I haven't been able to see him fully healthy, so I'm not sure. So then there's Jerron Brown, who has been stepping up in the absence of John. So I like our weapons with our receivers. I think they're great. I think they have great hands. I think they have great instincts. We just need Carson to be able to make plays. Again, he has to be able, if there's a pass rush in his face all day long, our wide receivers might as well go home because they're not going to be able to make plays. And so your secondary, I don't know how tested they're going to be because I don't know if Carson's ever going to have a chance to let go of the ball.
Interesting. And that also plays into the hands of Larry Fitzgerald, because if he is going to be doing any passing, it's probably going to be something quick to someone in the slot right across the middle, straight in front of him, so he doesn't have to turn and wind up to get rid of the ball. And it sounds like it's going to be another big game for Larry Fitzgerald. And I don't think any 49ers fan is going to try to deny that or say that, you know, either one of us are reaching for making that declaration. I do want to talk about our offense a little bit, and then you can counter with what your defense can do on the flip side, okay? So Brian Hoyer, again, he started horribly last week, but he finished the game 23 for 37. He had 332 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 rushing, 1 interception. I will be honest. If Brian Hoyer played like this every single week, I would be like, holy smokes, job well done. I just don't know if this is who he is. The first 2 weeks of the year, he wasn't able to do much of anything at all. And like I said, our offensive line seemed to be providing him the protection. He's getting rid of the ball quickly. Seems to be pretty accurate, honestly, with his passes and things like that. So I'm excited about that. I think Hoyer's going to be okay. Then there's our rushing game. Carlos Hyde is just doing what Carlos Hyde does. He's averaging over 3 yards a carry for the year. I think he's averaging over 4 yards a carry for the entire year. But last week, 25 attempts, 84 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had a long of 20. The rushing game seems to be very good, but Carlos Hyde was someone who was injured. Now, he did show up on the practice, on the injury report, limited practice. He's having a hip issue. He was also on the injury report on Wednesday as well. This is something that he actually came out of the game and missed a series or two for last week, but he was able to bounce back. So this is going to be something that I'm going to be paying more attention to, more so than what Brian Hoyer is going to be able to do. How is your team against the run? What's that defense looking like over there? I mean, at one point it was Seattle and Houston and then Arizona. Those were like the big teams with the powerful defenses. Then you guys lost Tyrann Mathieu for a little bit, and then the team seemed to fall back some. But now I'm trying to get a feel for you, who you guys are, and I'm just not quite sure. So tell us about your defense, if you don't mind, what you guys are going to do against the run, and then you can even transition to the secondary, and I can counter that with the 49ers if you'd like.
So the the defense. Crap, darn it. There's something else to say about that. And I can't remember what exactly it was. So I'll go back to that. But
I threw a lot at you at one time, so that's probably my fault.
I was like, yes, point. And now I can't remember all of it. So I'll go. So we were in the top 10 for offense and defense the last 2 years. Clearly our offense is not that right now. And last week our defense allowed 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And that is, so again, I know that we lean on our offense, I mean our defense a lot, but they're still allowing way too much. We can't go the whole season allowing 2 fourth quarter touchdowns. And not only that, we're not turning over the ball. We have 2 turnovers in 3 games. 2, that's it. So defense needs to do a better job of turning over the ball, because that's where you win games. Turn over the ball, get it back, let's score. For our pass rushing, Chandler Jones is on the injury report, and the guy is so clutch. So if he's out, I'm not really sure. I mean, he's just, thank you, Patriots, for I know he was with Patriots last year. I love him, and I love the spark that he has, and he offers up on the defense. Patrick Peterson going into the third week, he was the cornerback that was allowing the least amount of yards or carries or anything. The guy was just shutting it down. But that was going into the third week. So Cardinals, I'm not even going to go over that. I mean, Cowboys. So I wrote down an interesting thing. So Cardinals defense in 2016, the team finished 2nd in total defense, but 14th in scoring defense. Okay. So then this season, we're 9th in total defense, but 27th in points allowed. And that, to me, something's not matching up. They're not staying consistent. And so, again, when you see a game and you see our O-line play, you're like, oh, that's okay. They have the defense. But defense can't – we can't win ball games and stay consistent with those types of inconsistencies. And I know that teams against us are 7 of 8 in scoring in the red zone. And for 11 attempts, we've only scored 3 touchdowns. So I know that's our offense not scoring touchdowns, but teams are 7 of 8 scoring in the red zone. And that, again, that's our defense. You have to be able to either stop the game, or our safeties, our cornerbacks need to protect the pass. Yeah. So again, I know we are so hard on our O-line, but our defense does have a lot of holes. Chandler Jones, I don't know, Hoyer might have a life, because Chandler Jones, if he is hurt and he doesn't play, he's not going to get sacked. So,
okay.
Kind of in a nutshell.
All right. So then you're giving me a little bit of hope. I'm feeling good about this game. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I was feeling good about the game earlier. I've been slowly gaining confidence. But, I mean, the truth of the matter is this. I looked up some numbers on Patrick Peterson throughout the entire season. Now, I know, again, it's only been 3 games. This is the 4th game. He's only allowed 3 receptions all year. I don't care who you are. I don't care what team you play on. That is pretty freaking impressive. 3 receptions all year long. And Patrick Peterson prides himself on not being a guy who just stays on one side of the field. Patrick Peterson's going to find your number one. And if he's on the left side, if he's on the right side, if he's playing in the slot, Patrick Peterson's going to line up against your number one. And for him to allow 3 receptions all year long, boy, that is huge. That is, it's very, very impressive. And so I am worried about that. I'm hoping someone that's physical, like Pierre Garçon, who happens to be our number one wide receiver right now, can get this little head-to-head thing going here, maybe get under the skin of Patrick Peterson, cause him to lose his cool a little bit, because Pierre Garçon's a trash talker, okay? Another former Cardinal was Anquan Boldin, and Pierre Garçon reminds me a lot of him. So I am really, really hoping to see some physicality. And if by chance Patrick Peterson shuts down Pierre Garçon, it's going to be a very, very long game for Brian Hoyer and the 49ers offense. I'm hoping that that's not the case. So I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I wanted to look at one more thing that you guys have here, and that's Deion Buchanan. He was a full participant in practice. Doesn't seem like he was hampered at all. Is he going to be, it looks like it from the injury report, is he going to be 100%? Is this something that, because he is like a switchblade, he is a jack of all trades on that team. I've seen him line up at safety. I've seen him line up at linebacker. He does it all for you guys. Is he going to be a factor in this game? I'm assuming he has to be for you guys, right?
I haven't, according to the injury report, he's still hurt, but I honestly don't know, but I do know that our backfield with the safeties and the cornerbacks, everything is really crowded. So I'm not sure. I mean, we do have like Tyron and we have Branch and who else am I? Sorry. Other side. So I know that the backfield is really crowded, but I know that we could use him. But again, this injury report, we could use all of these guys. These are all of our stars. And like you said, I mean, he has a Swiss Army knife and we kind of need guys to fill in. But back to Patrick Peterson, he did say in an interview today that he will protect, he will guard, he will protect every blade of grass. And just imagine that. That's like his mentality. Like, every blade of grass on this field is mine, and I will protect it, and I will guard it, and I will not let you, pass. I mean, grab anything. No catches will be caught under my watch. And that's kind of, I know. So it's going to be interesting to see Pierre Garçon. But back to Buchanan, I haven't heard, but we definitely need all of the help we can get. I do love Tyvon Branch, though, and I love Tyron Matthew, the Honey Badger. They've done a great job. So I don't.
Yeah. This is gonna be a really, really good game. It's gonna be a telling game, okay? Both of these teams are going through, they're fighting injuries. I mean, we have a ton of injuries on the defensive side of the ball. Our safety, Eric Reed, all right? He didn't practice. He's not gonna play in this game, all right? We have our star, our stud, 31st overall pick linebacker in Reuben Foster. He's not playing in this game also. He's out with this high ankle sprain. And then the other linebacker that was supposed to be our stud is Navarro Bowman, and he had one of the worst games I've seen him have in his entire career last week. We don't know if it's age. We don't know if it's injury. We don't know if it's a combination of the two. But Navarro Bowman did not look like himself. He also said that playing on a Thursday had a lot to do with it. So we just don't know what we're going to get. To continue with the injuries on our defense, which is going to bode well for you Cardinal fans, Brock Coyle. Going through concussion protocol, limited in practice, but the head coach did say that he looks like he's on pace to participate in this game, but he's a backup linebacker. He's not even a starter, okay? Jaquiski Tart, he is our version of Deion Buchanan. He is our switchblade, the guy that can play safety, that can come down in a nickel package and play linebacker if necessary. Jaquiski is also going through concussion protocol, limited in practice today as well. So these are things that are going to make a serious difference in the result of this game, and I'm just worried about it. So we've talked about offense, we've talked about defense. You mentioned something that I wanted to touch on really quick. You talked about turnovers. Our defense hasn't done a ton of turnovers. We have like two or three, but our special teams caused two turnovers last week. I wanted to ask you about your special teams. Now, is Patrick Peterson still returning punts or kickoffs, or what is he doing? Who's your return man right now, and how good is your return man?
Kerwin Williams has been our guy returning, and so I really like him there. He's done a great job, but that's probably why he hasn't been doing many. He hasn't been a running back, like he's been on special teams. I don't even have any words for our special teams. last week, even our punts, we put Cowboys in the best field, positioning that they could. Yes. And that was a lot of the problem. And I wrote that down and I like circled it somewhere. Kerwin Williams, great at returning, but now when we kick, no, we're terrible at it. We're not getting the job done. We're seriously handing them the ball at the 50 or better and saying, here you go. So special teams was our issue last year, and that's why we didn't make the playoffs. Too many field goals, too many missed everything. And so to get Phil Dawson and to try and – I know he's not our punter, but to miss that field goal last week is huge. I mean, and we lost a touchdown because of the holding penalty, but – you need those points. Sorry. I have a puppy. we need those points. So special teams is so important when Kerwin Williams to run it and to, you know, do a good job running the ball. But we have to be able to kick and kick it far enough that we have a chance to stop them. At the 50, come on. We've already given them half the field. So our special teams, not only is our offensive line struggling and our defense, even though on paper, you know, it looks worse, our special teams is really struggling.
Okay. That's going to take us to our final section here. Now, just to give you a recap of like what you said, our offense looked good last week, but we don't know if that was an anomaly. We don't know if that was just a one-week thing. So our offense still has a big question mark. Our defense looked horrible, the worst defensive showing of the year by far, something that we absolutely cannot replicate and expect to win games. When your offense puts up 39 points in the NFL, you should win games, and we lost. So our offense is going to be something a question mark. Our defense is going to be a question mark. Our special teams actually look good. They got the shiny star for last week for us. So that's going to be hopefully a continuing positive for us. Let's get to the keys to victory. I'm going to go ahead and start this off for us. The keys to victory for us, we're going to have to control your offense. We're going to have to get pressure on Carson Palmer with four down linemen, because that wide receiving corps that you guys have there is very, very talented, whether it's Jay Brown or the other Jay Brown or Larry Fitzgerald. You know what I mean? If it's Ellington coming out of the backfield and catching passes, Chris Johnson's speed is still there. I know that people talk about his age and all, and maybe he doesn't like running between the tackles, but if you get Chris Johnson the ball in space, he can be a problem for any team, anytime, anywhere. And so we're going to have to try to control that. Kawan Williams is going to have his hands absolutely full trying to guard Larry Fitzgerald if Kawan Williams is the guy on him. If it was me, I honestly would be trying to do something with one of our safeties, put a bigger body on him, because Kawan Williams isn't that big, all right? So I would try to get someone like a Jaquiski Tartt, one of our safeties, to maybe shadow Larry Fitzgerald as well. We have to be creative with this. We heard from our defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, and he's saying, I absolutely can't wait to get on the field on Sunday to show the world what the 49ers defense is made of. And so he's talking a big game. That's what you want to hear. And that was my takeaway. You know how you had your Patrick Peterson, every blade of grass is mine, I'm going to protect it. Our defensive coordinator said, I absolutely cannot wait to show the world what we have. And so he got me pumped up a little bit. I was feeling it. I'm like, okay, here we go. You know, let's do this. But that's going to be the key on defense. And as far as offense goes, we have to take the gimmies. This offense, in the first 2 weeks, Brian Hoyer was a little gun-shy. He held the ball a little too long. There were wide-open targets that he didn't even see. And when he did see them, he was throwing the ball short, overthrowing a couple of people. We have to take the gimmies. And this defense, the secondary in particular, is not going to give up a lot of gimmies. But if they do give us something, we have to take it, even if it's a check down. Don't be afraid to depend on the running backs. Okay, Carlos Hyde is having a phenomenal year so far. He is on pace to have a career year. Take advantage of that. Matt Breida, an unknown backup that people have no idea who he is. This guy walked on the field in preseason. He was our fifth or sixth running back on the depth chart. He worked his way all the way up to the number two guy. Okay, that says something about what this guy has. He has the heart. He has the motor. He has the mind. He has the power to play the position. Don't sleep on him. I feel comfortable with him in there, even if something were to happen with Carlos Hyde in that hit. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on. And special teams, you have to continue to do your job. I know it sounds like I just said everybody needs to play well, but in a quick synopsis, we have to run the ball effectively to keep that secondary honest. We have to have Brian Hoyer take advantage of the mismatches. On defense, we have to control Carson Palmer to Larry Fitzgerald. We have to keep that under control. And secondary, special teams has to do their thing. They absolutely have to make sure that when it's time to punt, we switch field position and make some plays on special teams. Those are the keys to victory that I have for the 49ers. And now I will give it back to Sandy so she can go ahead and wrap us up and give us the keys to victory for her Arizona Cardinals.
I do have one question that is about the 49ers. So I did write, because I was doing all my keys and everything. So Pro Football Focus has Elvis. As your secret weapon. What do I need to know about him?
This is a great question. Okay, so I got into his big – it wasn't an argument, but I got into it with our guys. We have a little chat going on. And Elvis Dumervil is a pass rush specialist. This is all he does. I want to say that he played 12 snaps last game, And you would think that in a game where Jared Goff is going berserk like that, you would play your pass rusher to put some pressure on him, right? Wrong. It seemed like he couldn't get on the field because they were controlling the down and distance so well that it was never an obvious passing down. However, Elvis Dumervil is our pass rush specialist. He's a guy who has 99 career sacks. He's looking for number 100. He got number 100, but it was called back on a penalty. So he's still looking for that number 100. He is someone who's going to come off of the edge, but again, he only plays on passing downs. And if your offensive line is as bad as it says, as you say they are, or as even the numbers suggest, he might get 100 to 102 against you guys. He's going to be someone that you have to keep an eye on in that game, him and another guy named Aaron Lynch. Those two guys are our pass rush specialists. They don't play on base downs for the most part, but you might see them due to injuries. So, yeah.
Hey, that, I mean, that's because our offensive line is struggling so much. That's good to know. And our errors, like our run game is struggling. So that's going to be more passing. So you guys are going to be pressuring Palmer like crazy. Okay. So keys of the game, the offensive line, they've got to figure it out fast and quick and give Carson Palmer time to make plays. If you watch the game, and you see Palmer's feet start to get nervous, you know the ball is either flying or he's going to get sacked. Those are the only two things. So the offensive line has to protect Carson. They give him 3 seconds, which I know 2.7 is a normal, like, for a mediocre quarterback to make a good play. So give you three, I'll give you that extra time. Carson can make plays. So O-line needs to step up. I know that there's injuries, whatever. Let's get the game done. Finish it out. The special teams needs to make their field goals and punt it further than the 50-yard line. And then, like, just, I'm like, defense has to be able to stop the other team in the red zone. We're giving it up. We're giving away points. Here you go. I wonder if I hit on everything, because it's really just lies with the offensive line and Carson and special teams. What else did I write? Because I have so much.
I know Patrick Peterson's going to be key also. I mean, he's got to.
He's on here the whole time. That's his guy. It's his guy to watch.
And I'm not gonna lie to you, man. That's the one matchup I'm worried about. And I know it's just so I feel like if we can keep you guys one dimensional and force you to pass, if we can convince you guys to abandon the run, I'm okay with letting Larry Fitzgerald do what Larry does against the 49ers, as long as we keep everyone else on lock. Mm-hmm. Okay, if the offense is running through Fitzgerald and he can move the ball for you guys, but he can't do it the entire game, I hope. That's what I'm worried about. And so the flip side to that is I know that Pierre Garçon is going to be covered in shadow. He's going to be – oh, my God. He's like – Patrick Peterson is going to be on his back. And Pierre Garçon is the heartbeat of the 49ers offense right now. I know that I said that, you know, Carlos Hyde is doing good and Brian Hoyer had a good game and everything like that. But Pierre Garçon is the heart and soul of this offense right now at this moment. And if he is taken out of this game – I'm not going to lie, I'm going to be a little worried. So that's one of the things that I'm a little concerned about. Hopefully Patrick Peterson has a down game and the Niners can come out of this one victorious.
You guys are 0-3, but you're probably the best 0-3 team I've ever seen play. So I'll give you that. I am picking cards to win. I just think if you go Carson versus Hoyer, I'm going to go with Carson. I don't trust Hoyer at all. I know they call him Destroyer the Hoyer. I don't know if everyone does. I just read that somewhere.
He just destroys stats. He's not as good as people think he is. It's like
Pierre Garçon he's such a great handsy. His hands. He has such great hands. I mean, the ball is 10 feet in front of him, and he still somehow magically catches it. So definitely all eyes on Patrick Peterson, Pierre, cornerback, your cornerback, Williams with Larry. So your left tackle, Staley?
Yes.
Versus Chandler Jones. If Chandler Jones, I know he's on the injury report now, that's a matchup to watch. The defensive tackle, Buckner versus our O-line, so Alex Boone and Shipley. Those will be. And then, again, my number one thing to watch for, 49ers pass defense versus our quarterback. That's it. Like, that's my number one to watch for, your whole pass defense versus our one quarterback.
All right. It's going to be a good matchup. I'm not going to say good luck because I would not mean it. I do hope for a very entertaining game or a blowout by the 49ers. Either one of those will make me happy. I am also going to pick the 49ers to win this game. I can tell you this, though, really quick. The 49ers have been destroying the spread. The Seahawks were favored by like 16 points or something crazy like that. And they beat us barely, just barely, that last second touchdown. We played against the Rams, and the Rams were favored. And yeah, they beat us, but only by 2. We also stopped that. And then this week, you guys are favored by 7. And so you're 7, you're at home, so you get 3 points for that. It's only 4 points. I don't know. This could be the week for the upset special, guys. This could be the week.
It really could. And I'm really pulling for our Cardinals because I believe in them. But there's a part of me that is like, you guys are sneaky good. And Shanahan is a really, really, really good coach. Super good, super smart, always changing schemes, staying in it. So it'll be really interesting.
Yeah, it'll be really good. Hopefully, I expect BA to come out and do a little bit of quick up-tempo offense, getting rid of the ball fast. If he knows his offensive line is as bad as people are saying it is, get rid of the ball quick. You know what I mean? Do some tosses to your running back so he doesn't have to run behind those blockers, but maybe he can take an edge. You know what I mean? So those will be some of the things that I'm going to be looking out for. But again, Sandy, thank you so much for your time. I know you have to get going. You have such a busy day and everything. I really, really appreciate it. Again, guys, if you want to give her a follow on Twitter, her handle is Cardinals FGSN. I nailed that, right?
Yes.
Yes, a part of the Fangirl Sports Network. You guys, make sure you give them a look, all right? Take a look at the webpage and everything. They are doing an amazing job. They are covering so much of the NFL, and they are branching out. They have a couple of NBA teams as well. So you guys, make sure you check that out. There's a baseball one also, right?
Not yet. Not yet. Yeah, there. Okay. Hopefully, maybe. But there is basketball and football, yeah.
Okay. All right. So thank you so much. Is there anything you want to leave the people with before you get out of here?
Go Cardinals.
I let her sneak it in, damn it. Okay. That's my fault, basically. But I'm going to get out of here. Thank you guys for watching, all right? And above all else, stay faithful. We are out of here.
Let me sound off in the beginning. We ain't losing, we back to winning. Hometown love, been repping from the start. Nothing but Niners, red and gold in my heart. And we go hard when it's time to play. May have left Frisco, but ain't left the Bay. Kyle Shanahan time, can he bring us back to get our 6th ring? Imagine that. Light shine bright at Levi whenever it's game day. Take a hit from Bowman, calling it May Day. Eric Reed ball out, getting the picks. New year, Garcon going deep for 6. Can't forget about Hyde when he toting the rock. While Robinson outside, keeping it locked. Had a lot of legends, time to make some new ones. Nothing but Niners, haters come and get some. Yeah.